Okay, see you, folks. Take care.
Nice.
See you.
First thing, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the time out to come in here this morning. I know it's not easy on a Saturday morning, especially if you've got family at home. As I said earlier, being that's older, done that.
Okay.
I can appreciate it. I'm not sure, we may have people coming in during the class because obviously there's a problem with parking. There's a problem with, I don't know, you send it out a marathon or somewhere, which is obviously causing problems and backup. Of course, the phones are on silent, yeah, please, just for the duration. I always say this, and the last time I said my old phone went off halfway through the session, so just make sure my own is, yeah. You've all signed in. And who hasn't signed in, I think there's a sheet there going around. Myself, my name is Paul Nolan. I own a debt collection agency, believe it or not, called AR Solutions. Don't know if anyone ever heard of it, but we're a small family-based agency. We do consumer debt. We also do business-to-business debt. Recently signed up with a Swedish crowd who have a European platform who send debts from anywhere in Europe. They redirect them through a platform, I'll call his name, and I'm the agent for Ireland, so I get business that way as well. I also do a little bit of credit control outsourcing, so I have a few companies that I do have credit control for them. So I worked in Securecor, I worked in DHL, so I'm 10 years kind of out, took a redundancy package myself, voluntary redundancy, I took it and started the business, haven't looked back, and things are going well. So if ever I can help you on a professional level, by all means, you know where to find me. I've completed myself first certificate, then a diploma. I'm talking way back into the 80s, into the 90s, and then it became a degree course in DIT, a degree in credit management was the actual title, I think. And the degree was accredited by Trinity College, which was a great thing, really. It looks well on the CV, the frame and the pictures, whatever, at home. And sadly, that has never continued. It's never been really clear to me, but I think it's something that's badly lacking at the moment. You've got as far as your diploma, where do you go from there? And obviously people want to, a lot of people want to go on further. So, it's looking for a pathway to lead you on to bigger and greater things. I Declan has ideas on that, so I'm sure he'll discuss those at a later date with you. But I feel there is a gap there.
It's a bit bizarre, though.
Pardon?
It's a bit bizarre, isn't
it? There is, but there's different things you can go on to. You could look at the likes of risk management and stuff like that, which are covered. I think they're more related to banking and stuff like that, financial services sector. So, never feel. When you're finished here and you want to go on, and I would encourage everyone to go on. I just mentioned this briefly before you came in. I was that mature student, I went on, and I've never looked back. And I said, the confidence it gave me. Not just that, but the voice it gives you in the company, to get up there, get to the table where all the decisions are made, and be a part of management. And as Declan said, that's what we're into this year. You've learned all the skills and the knowledge for you from year one. Now it's the time to turn to management. You want to move on, you want to become the manager, you want to get that, take the first step in the wrong, up to, senior management. So I'm here to help you no matter what. I'm available anytime you want to send me an email. I will come back in 48 hours. If I can't, I'll let you know straight away. If you want to have a phone conversation with me, we pre-arrange that. Just send me an email and we arrange a time, whatever. Could be during the daytime. I have no problem talking during the daytime because I'm self-employed, so I can take calls, whatever. But if you're running, particularly at the start of the problem, at the start of the project, a lot of people experience how to get started, and it is a difficult thing to get started. I can remember I was doing the thesis. I think it was 10,000 words to do for maybe a bit more, 15,000 words for the degree. and I sat there, and I had books and copies everywhere. After about 2 hours, I think I had a sentence done. I just mentally blocked, couldn't get it together. And I said, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. I was, you know, and then when it gets going, it flows, and you know, you it becomes easier. You have all your notes on, and just to get the discipline, getting some sort of structure around it. Now there is a structure to this project, and I'll go through that with you. Has anyone completed anything like this previously? Or is all new stuff, is it? Yeah. Okay. What we do is we'll go through the agenda that I have. It's in your books there. I think the 1 to 15, the difference. Or 1 to 11, is it 1 to 11? I'll explain to you what the structure is, how you should approach it, how to get started. And on a regular basis, I'll send you out, I think there's 4 or 5 sets of notes that I will send you out at different stages of the project. There's no point me kind of bombarding stuff now, you know, just get completely confused. So at each stage, I'd send you on notes. If you find you're slipping at that stage, and I'll ask you, everyone, to just give me just a couple of sentences of feedback at that stage. I appreciate it if you do. There are marks, by the way, in the project, you know, for initiative, for effort and achieving deadlines, that sort of thing. So if you're achieving your deadlines, you're coming back and you're being, you know, responsive, that's fine, you'll have no problem. They're easy to attain marks, very easy. You have all your handouts that I'm going to give you, they're in your folder there. And your draft rationale, which is the start of your project. The rationale is your reason for picking a particular subject. Okay, and that's the first part of your project, your rationale. What's your subject matter? Why are you picking the subject matter? What you hope to achieve, okay? And I'll go into that shortly, but you have to have your draft rationale approved by me. So it has to come back to me, I put a date on it, Monday the 2nd of October. So you might just take a note of that, Monday the 2nd of October. Your draft rationale has to come back. I have to approve it, I'll go back. Now, there's no problem most of the time, you know, it's only if it's not credit related. The one thing about this is a credit management project. It has to be credit related. There's no point to talk about sales problems or talking about, you know, marketing or whatever. This is, that may have some impact in it. You may at some stage bring those things into your, but it's credit. That's what we're about, credit. I have a sample project available which I can email you out. Have you had Mary as a tutor at some stage?
Me.
No.
Yeah.
You have, yeah. Mary done this project many moons ago. And I still have Mary's one which I use. To send out, I don't think there's any mark, I hope there's not any. But Mary done very, exactly on training, believe it or not, but she's done a very, very good project on it, scored quite high. And that's the finished product. More pages than I think it is. But it's good, so I can give you a copy of that. So if you email me, I'll give you my email address, Paul Nolan. It's actually on your thing there, by the way.
It's up the list.
It's in the very draft right here. Yeah, I have it there. Email me, I'll send you a copy. I meant to give these to Declan, I'll give them to him before. These are actually copies of some that were done in the last year or two. So that's what the finished product will look like. Okay, that's it. It's like a report you would send, an internal report or something like that. It's properly bound. I can't give you these, unfortunately, because I have some marks on these and I have comments written on them and everything. But that's what I mark on.
Is this for the diploma?
Yeah, credit management project, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anything you might have missed, Declan's recorded the session, so you can get.
Oh, grand, because I just went in there because they just brought us in there. I didn't even know that
you were supposed to be here.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was in there.
Well, anything, I'll just crack on.
Yeah,
you know, just
grand.
Follow in. Anything you might have missed, it's recording, you know, Declan.
Thanks.
Well,
Cheers.
Yeah, that's the finished project, and that's just where I mark. Each section has skip allocated a mark, and the marking system is actually included here in your handouts. And that was scored 88. That's a high mark. So that's just standard lads, ladies. I just thought it was about. Yeah, this quite focused project that one. So that's it. If you spend a bit of time on this, the biggest problem, the biggest mistake that people make is, they tend to push this back and say, oh, we don't have to have this in until the date is on a declaration date, the 13th of January. And people are saying, sure, that's months away, and kind of put everything on the long finger. Worst thing you can do is I've had people on to me literally crying down the phone saying, can't do this. And it's all because they just didn't give themselves enough time, didn't follow through, and everything's last minute, and then it becomes a panic, all right. But don't let that happen. But if you do get into a panic situation, pick up the phone, I'll talk you through it. Now, the first thing you have is the credit management project handouts here. I'm looking at this here, have we got it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what you're required is to demonstrate how to manage a credit department. As I mentioned, we're now getting to the stage where we're talking about where, if you're not already a credit manager, that's what you're striving to be. You want to, get your foot on the rung of the ladder to management. So, what's expected is, you're going to have to show how you can, on a daily basis almost, manage a credit department in terms of training, in terms of scheduling activities, managing staff, HR issues, all that sort of stuff, so that is what this project is about, is to try and, get your mind concentrated on moving from, say, a credit control person into a credit manager. That's what it's all about. So we'll be talking about management quite a bit. You're trying to raise the profile, not only of your own position within the company, but also that of a credit manager. That's what we're all about. And to understand, it's vitally important, not from just from this subject, but from other subjects, understand how the credit department affects bottom line of the company. I'm sure you've done all this in credit management and DSO and how, you turn order to cash, all this sort of stuff like that. How it helps bottom line, how keeping down bad debts obviously helps profitability and all that sort of stuff. And that's, you're now beginning to realise, in practical terms, how this has all affected the bottom line. And that all, again, contributes to, the elevation of your role within the organisation. And the other thing about this is you're supposed to be able to think critically and think independently. So when you gather all your data, when you're doing your survey, when you're doing your questionnaire, if you're doing an interview, it's putting all that information down in a manner that is easily readable, that you can focus on, that you can make sense of, and again, put it down in some sort of graphic display normally. Come to all of that. This center credit management is an opportunity for all the learning of the practice. It is an assignment-based project. You're required to demonstrate how you apply the knowledge gained on the course in your own work situation. You will present it. What have you got there, 6,000 or 5,000?
6,000.
6,000, okay, yeah. Word dissertation. I mean, if it's less than 6,000, if it's over 5,000, I'm not going to worry about that.
So it's the next page, 5 to 6.
Certainly not less than 5, anyway. And I think at 6,000 words, you'd probably made your point at that stage. People begin to repeat themselves. A dissertation on the approved topic with the guidance and support for qualified. The project is researched and presented in the bound document, which I showed you already, in 9 criteria. So there are different criteria in terms of presentation, how you present the thing, your bibliography at the back, where you quote people, how you quote them, and how you present the quotations and all that sort of stuff. You'll get obviously documentation on that, notes on that, how to do that. The purpose of the project. The project provides an opportunity to consolidate the knowledge skills covered in all previous modules containing the certificate and diploma course and develop higher level technical skills appropriate for managers in the credit profession. It must be credit based, I can't stress that enough. It must be credit based and it has to be approved. The subject matter. The subject can be one of your choosing. You must get the subject approved in advance and submitted by the 4th of October. I've given you some samples there in the handouts of previous. You see there are two pages there, practical credit management project areas. So you've got a page and a quarter there roughly of previous. Well, they're just ones, they're just titles of ones that have been completed in the past. And I just put them in there, maybe there's something in there. If you read through them, it might kind of, it might appeal to you, or it might just give you an idea of something that you might, want to look at. The important thing is, I think, for a project like this, is to make it work-based, something that's going on in your own job. That's what's going to keep you interested. That's what's going to, and we all know there's something wrong with our current job that needs fixing, that we just never have the time to fix. Okay, well, I'll go back to that in a minute.
Which one?
that's it. This is going to sustain you for 3 to 4 months, so it has to be something that interests you. And there's another reason why you should keep it work based, and that's because you'll find that if your boss hears that you're doing a project based on some problem or some, it mightn't be a problem, it could be even something that you want to introduce into the company, some sort of an innovation or some technological thing that might help things. Maybe you're kind of, everything was manual in the, manual systems that you're working off, and maybe there is something out there that you look at that will, improve things, and again, improve the bottom line. And I'm sure, if there's something going on like that, the boss would only be too happy to assist you in terms of maybe giving you a bit of time off or something like that, or maybe even giving you access to information that would normally kind of, be available to you. And that's kind of, again, raising your profile. It's bringing up that extra level, it's actually, you're getting this information, that you're actually doing something at the moment. And I guarantee you that, it won't be long before someone else hears that someone's doing a project. Credit management, we're all delighted to see, anxious to see what he comes up with or what she comes up with, at the end of the day, it's hopefully be something that can improve the bottom line, So, with that in mind, I always say, try and keep it work related. Who knows, at the end of the day, there could be even, I'm not saying that you get promotion out of it, but it could be something at the year end when you're doing your performance appraisal and work, whatever, someone said, oh yeah, that's right, that's another little bow, streak your bow rather, So, it's important to keep bonuses come around or something like that. It's all positive stuff, but it's putting you in there in a very positive light in terms of management. Keep it work related, I always say. And they say that there are 3 reasons why people excel in their jobs. I've read this before. One is because they're interested, which obviously you are, that probably wouldn't be there anyway, Well, maybe you wouldn't. Normally it's people who are interested. People who are looking to improve. So show a bit of ambition, People, if you're not showing a bit of ambition, they just be passed over. So, yeah. People who are well trained, that's the important one. That's what we're out here today. People who are well trained. So those 3 attributes they reckon are 3 reasons why people are successful in their jobs. Now, another handout you have there, do not keep the subject matter too broad. Again, look at a problem area in your work that needs improvement, or an innovative measure procedure that you could introduce that would save money. I'm thinking here, do people have direct debt systems in work? Maybe people are still chasing cash checks, that sort of stuff, Maybe you need to, it would be beneficial to introduce a direct debit system. Now, there are hoops you have to jump through before you can do that with banks, etc. You know, but you know, in this day and age, you know, a lot of people have moved, particularly on new accounts. It might be hard to get your older accounts onto a direct debit system because they're used to it and it's not in their contract and whatever. You know, but new people coming on board, new customers coming on board, you know, to try and get something to them. Or a query management system. You find it, you know, one of the biggest barriers to cash collection are queries, outstanding queries. We all have them. You know, what are we doing about them? You know, and you find some months it's the same old queries that are coming up. You know, it's someone that's been charging incorrect rate or something like that. Maybe stuff is being broken or something. If they're a delivery person or whatever. Or, you know, for whatever reason. And setting up some sort of query management system where you can identify where the problem areas are, and not only that, but identify a solution to them. So that's an area where some people kind of look at when they're doing a project like this, you know. It's unique to your business. And we have this every month, you ring and sound something, they say, oh, we're waiting on a credit one. Again, you know, and just hold up again. And
so it has to improve the overall.
It helps improve not just the credit control, but also if it's kind of operations, if it's sales, whatever department has caused the problem, you know, it can help improve disciplines in that area as well. Because if you're sending a report, just say for argument's sake, oh, we raised 100 credit notes this month, and you analyze it out, 20 or 30 of them are going to operations again, there's another, you know, sales are responsible for 20 other sorts of. And managers are looking at it, don't work for salt. No, they'll be looking at it and say, well, you know, actually, this person is right, there is a problem here. It's not going to go away unless we sort it. So it gets them zoned in on, you know, where the problem areas are and putting solutions in place. And if you've done that, you know, you could think if you were ringing around and whatever, chasing the money, and, you know, if your queries were halved, the difference it would make to your life. Not to mention the stress and agitation and everything that goes with it. So it's just again another area that you if you have a problem with that you might want to have a look at. And again, if you've picked something and you've sent back your subject matter to me and I approve it, it's not written in stone. So if you find after a couple of weeks you're going down this route and this project and it runs into a cul-de-sac, you know, don't panic. Come back and you can have a look at something else. So if it's not working, change it. And don't feel that, you know, you waste a lot of time. You haven't actually, you know, you probably become more familiar with an area, but you just see there's not a project in it. So come back and look at something else. And you probably will have taught maybe six or seven different areas. And one isn't working, have a look at the others, either five or whatever it is, you know. And don't feel, but just come back to me and let me know, sorry, you know, I've just realised this isn't the area I want to investigate, I want to go somewhere else, that's fine. Now, if different sections to the project, and these are the different sections here, these are the written sections, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'll go into them now, and then you've got, on number 7 there, you've got another three areas that are, you know, they're for effort, they're for initiative, and for your presentation, so they're not actually written word or anything like that. These are areas that I will add marks for depending on what the feedback I'm getting from you guys is, okay? So, anyway, just get started. The different sections of your project, your rationale, this is your start, this is the reason, the subject matter. Okay. Before you start your rationale, your project looks. I showed you an example there. And again, if you email me, I'll send you this. So you have your contents. What I always like to see is company background. Mary has it done there. Now it's not here on the handout that I've given you. So you see before rationale, the rationale is when you're actually getting into your project, but before your rationale, if you could give me some sort of background into your company, what service you're in, if you're manufacturing or whatever industry you're in, and a bit. And to be honest with you, you'll probably get this stuff off your web page or something like that, you know, or you know, just put your own words to it anyway, don't kind of copy anything. And again, there's a section on plagiarism, which I have to duty bound to mention later on. But give me some sort of an indication of company background, what you do, what you produce, what service you're in, and your role in it. Okay? So a little bit, the last paragraph or two, just about what you actually do. And if there's some sort of a kind of department chart or organisation chart, that always looks well, you know. You've got the finance director or whatever, and who we report to him, just where you are in the, you know, in the scheme of things. It's handy for me to get my head around when I'm reading a project, where it sets the scene for me, basically, you know. So your rationale. Why did you pick this topic? What needs fixing? And what do you hope to achieve? I'm just going back to the handout again. This is what I want you to fill in and send back to me. See those two pages there?
Yeah.
Yep. So you can fill them in, you can just write on whatever and scan them and send them to me, whatever. You know, your area of investigation, your draft title, you know, that can change again over time. Why have you chosen this area for study? What do you regard as the main issue, the key questions? Aim, what outcomes do you hope to achieve? Just three or four specific items. And again, feel free to discuss this with your boss, with your colleagues at work, whatever, you know. They might have ideas, they might just, you know, suggest something to you which might appeal to you. So yeah, feel free, have a word with your boss in particular. And, you know, obviously of interest to him if he's, you know, if he's concerned about his department, if there is an area that needs. But again, as with all bosses, you've got to be very diplomatic, you know, if you talk to the boss, he's doing a terrible job or something like that, or the department's falling apart or whatever, you know. Just you know, just you're doing this and maybe, you know, you're coming from a positive spin, you know. Surely. You won't mind. So send that off to me. Did anyone ever do a SWOT analysis? I have a handout in there for SWOT analysis. The SWOT analysis, again, it's a tool that's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And just list down what, you know, strengths and weaknesses are normally internal to the organisation. Opportunities and threats are external forces. And if you just read that, it's sometimes introduced back in the 1950s or 60s, I think it was, you know, and it's one of those, it's a classic, it's still used in business schools today, SWOT analysis. They've got other things like pest analysis and whatever, but SWOT analysis is probably one of the most basic ones. And it's to identify what your strengths, weaknesses are, and what opportunities and threats are out there that can impact on your organisation. It can also lead you to maybe thinking about your project, thinking about your subject matter. It's another thing. If you haven't got anything, you know, already decided on, it's no harm in sitting down and doing this as a separate exercise anyway. It's amazing what it, when you put things on paper like that, you know, how you can, the impact it has, and you can see, yeah, our organisation actually does have threats out there, or there are opportunities there that maybe we're not taking advantage of. But I'm not going to go into it. It's very basic, it's very easy to read, and I think there's the third page of that, you've got threats, further SWOT tips, forget about that. I mean, you're using this as a basic tool, not as a serious tool, okay? And sometimes people actually do it in, it's like a matrix, you just put a, Just like a cross. It's normally just done like that. Strengths, you just have a cross there. Strengths, weakness, opportunities and threats. And you list them down under each. And again, looking at it visually then, you can see what strengths you have, what, you know, weaknesses you have. And the weaknesses normally will affect the threat. Threats will affect weaknesses as well. So if there's a threat to the company, if you, I don't know what the threat might be, let's say you, mightn't have a good delivery schedule or something like that. Obviously people won't use it, or if there's too many queries on the invoices or something like that. It's a threat to the, you know, to the business itself, to the business model. So it's just a simple way of looking at SWOT analysis. But you've enough there in that handout there to tell it how it works. It's not terribly complicated. So that's your rationale. Your rationale will normally take probably about a page and a half, 2 pages of your project. So, and you have your introduction, and then you have, so that's going to take up a bit of space as well. Sometimes as well, people put acknowledgements in at the front, and you're acknowledging maybe people who helped you through the project, maybe your boss, your supervisor, work colleagues. You know, it's nice. This project is going to
go into
a library. Pardon?
Do you put that where the brief description is, the acknowledgement
there?
You
can put it at the very front. In page one, page two, it's a separate thing, a separate page, just acknowledgements. And it's a nice thing sometimes when people see, you know, getting, you know, recognition for any help they might give. I mean, if you went to someone, you know, a politician or something like that, or someone, you know, to gate a lot of data or whatever for your project, it's nice, you know, that they see an acknowledgement in there. Maybe it's your husband, your wife, your partner, whatever, you know, for giving you a bit of space, whatever, you know, with your sponsor. It's nice to see that there as well. You know what I mean? This is a big thing, really. You know, this is going to be your work at the end of the day, and it's actually going to go into a library that Declan will hold. So, like, see all those there? They're going to go into a library. I'm going to compile a library, and people. Students, future students, will be able to go and have a look at your project if they're doing a project on a similar team, whatever, or subject. Your mark won't be on it, by the way. So it'll just be there. And it's the way they do it in most kind of universities and institutes.
It's like a case study.
Yeah. The stuff is there and people want to do it.
Not for the way by scoring up, so people can start to work out.
So it's the library there for us to have a look.
No, this is only I brought them in today. This is the start of the library. And he has all the ones prior to that. So, but the marks are on these, and comments are on Microsoft console. Now, that won't be on display, but just to think itself. So people will, if they want, at some stage, I don't know where, probably back at 3 and sure it'll be located. But they'll be up there somewhere on his website saying what's available to look at. So if people want to have a look, then they're more than welcome. Just to let you know, what you're signing on to. So you're going on to your rationale, okay? So you've identified what the subject matter is, what the problem is. Now you come on to your investigation stage one, strategy and data collection. So you've got two sources of. This is where you're investigating. This is where you're going to send out maybe a questionnaire or a survey. You've got two types of data collection. One is a primary source, and your primary source is a survey, a questionnaire, or an interview. Normally, it's something that you're doing. Okay. Secondary source is research that you might have done on
that investigation too?
Yeah. No, 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 sorry, you're on data
on
collection. Data collection. You're on your strategy there, okay?
I'm on the wrong place.
Yeah, you're on number six, sorry.
Yeah, fourth page.
Yeah, we're still on that page, believe it or not. That's our main page that we're going to be working on. So you're looking at investigation stage one, strategy. You know, are you going to do so? You've got primary source, which again is it's something that you yourself do, your survey, your questionnaire, your interview. I'll send you notes on how to conduct a proper interview, survey, whatever. Secondary, which would be your secondary source of information, would be internet, journals, books. And if you're looking at any stuff on that, make sure that you take a note for your bibliography. So if you're going to quote someone on something or other, if it's in a book, if it's in a journal, if it's on the internet, make sure you take, you know, and again, the page number, what the publication was, and who the author was. Okay? So it's important, because when you're doing your bibliography at the back, and there are marks for that in presentation, that you have it all right.
So basically any outside information has to be referenced fully in detail to say where it came from.
Yeah, if you're using secondary information, you have to give credit to whoever has that, okay? Even if it's a table, you know, you might pull a table, a graph or something like that, you have to give credit to whoever does that, whoever produced that. And it's not harm in you having it there, you're making your comment, you comment on it, okay? But give credit to whoever compiled the information. So that's your data collection, that's your strategy, you know, you're collecting your data. How to conduct a survey, how to conduct a questionnaire, I'll send you stuff on that. The one thing to remember here is that you don't introduce any biasness into the project. You have complete open mind when you're doing this project. You suspect, maybe in the back of your mind, that there's a reason for all this, whatever, but, you know, you cannot, if you're sending out a questionnaire to someone, whatever, give them an ambiguous question or a leading question. Do you agree? You know, it's what do you think? And if you're putting you know the way sometimes you have a survey questionnaire, circle 1, 2, 3, or 4, one being the least efficient and 10 being the most efficient way your request is processed for something, whatever, you know. You have to have balance on each side. So you have 1, 2, 3 was badly handled. 4 would be neither good nor bad. And 5, 6, 7 would be handled very efficiently. You have to have that balance in between all the time. If you're asking a question to someone in an interview or something, you cannot say to them, would you agree that you're talking to the salesman or that our credit application forms are badly, published, designed. You cannot do that. There's no right or wrongs in this project. You'll be marked on how you conducted your study, how you conducted your survey, not on whether you got the right answer at the end. Now you will have conclusions, and hopefully they'll be logical conclusion based on what you've learned. But you might find in the project that it's what you originally thought was a problem, it's not a problem. It's completely turned your thinking on its head. You will not be penalised for that, because you wouldn't have got that conclusion if you hadn't done your project, if you hadn't done your research, and if you hadn't interpreted the research and the data. So there's no right and wrong to this, and there's no biasness. You cannot introduce biasness into the game. Otherwise, it's a waste of time, because you're the one that's telling what the outcome is going to be before you even reach the outcome. So when you're conducting your interviews, when you're doing your surveys or questionnaires, make sure that they're balanced, that there's no biasness in them at all. So when you get we're on number 3 there. See, different sections of the project. We're on number 3 now. Investigation stage 2, data handling and results. So you get your data back if you've done a survey, and a survey might be, I would suggest if you're doing a survey, 15 to 20 if you're doing, you know, it could be colleagues, it could be other people who you might just survey each other, question, send a questionnaire to each other amongst yourselves, if it's relevant. Okay? But you must have, you know, say 15 to 20 people that you've surveyed to get some decent, proper information, feedback from. Now, it could be simple survey, it might be just one or two questions, so it could be, you know, four or five questions, whatever. Again, you'll see samples of it in there, and I'll send you notes on this, okay? So this is further on down the project, by the way.
We're currently running out of a customer survey at the moment, so what do I need to give you? Just the result, or the questions that were asked, or the percentages?
Both.
If I'm using that. Obviously, I'm not going to give names and...
No, don't.
Yeah, so no. I just need to just give the actual 10 questions, what the results were and what the outcome and what way it's going
to
change.
Is it related?
Yeah.
And it's related to your project? You don't include this in your project?
Right, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
See.
You list out what the questions were and what the responses were.
Right.
Okay.
So it's only...
And then at the end, you can do kind of a chart then based on that. So I'm coming to here now is data handling, okay? So you're interpreting your results, what they're telling you, okay? And then you want to present the results, and it's always, always good to see a graph of some description. Now we keep it fairly simple enough. There's only three types of graphs that I'm really interested in. I mean, you can have all sorts of scattering around and stuff like that, but not me on it. So you have your ordinary linear graph. The linear graph is goes up and down. It's just a line up and down. You have your bar chart, which again is fairly simple, you know, and you have a pie chart you can use as well.
Right.
So use them. You know, you can use all of them. You can use one of them, but it doesn't matter. But it's nice to see. You know, this is a project, so you're expected to have some sort of what we call quantitative data. You've got qualitative data, which is touchy feely kind of stuff. You know. How was your experience? Was it good, bad, whatever? Now you can transfer that into quantitative data, if you like, when you get your answers. Now. But it's quantitative. We're looking at numbers here. We're looking at what, you know, we want this thing graphic displayed. So it's always nice to see, and again, you're looking at your presentation, do it in colour if you can, you know. And the one thing you remember always is when you're doing a graph, by description, if you're doing a linear graph or a bar chart, time is always on the x-axis. Okay, so you've got your y-axis, which is the vertical, the horizontal, which is the x. So time is always measured on x-axis, which is the horizontal one. Just something that you should remember. So you've got your results. Okay, now you're on to your conclusions and analysis. So this is basically, what outcomes have you arrived at? Analysis of results leading to unbiased, there's that word again, unbiased, balanced, okay, independent conclusions. Conclusions must be well supported, and any risk factors identified. So if you, in a conclusion, say, well, you hadn't got the resources, you have to put that in, you haven't got enough resources, or you haven't got enough time, or you weren't given enough information from the company or whatever, and it's kind of maybe diluted your project a bit. Stick that in there, okay? Just also include any recommendations. So you'll normally find that when you've done your project, you've at your conclusions, and you say, well, actually, this isn't the end result here, we're not finished yet. There are actually other areas. This become evident to me while I've been doing this, that there are other areas that need to be investigated further. That's for another day, that's not for you. But it's nice to be able to say that, you know, you've come across something else that needs looking at. That's for another day. Include your recommendations. Your most important thing is your recommendations, your conclusions. What do you recommend? You know, again, as a result of your findings, what do you recommend that the company should do or the organization should do? You know, Is there a measure? Is there, you know, training issues? Is there whatever it might be? It's a resource issue. You're not going to pay them. So your recommendations. Your evaluation. Again, your evaluation is in. It's your opinion of how the project went. This is always a little bit kind of difficult for people to kind of get their head around, I suppose, is the evaluation. The evaluation is just in your own personal opinion. How did it go? What difficulties did you arrive at? Did you encounter? How did you get around them? Were you happy with? It's too late at this stage to go back looking at your survey or at your whatever, but are you happy that you conducted the, you know, the proper investigation technique? Maybe you could have got an interview with someone which might have shed a bit more light and they weren't available or something at the time. You know, that sort of stuff. It's your own honest opinion on how you think it went. Did you get feedback from your boss, from your colleagues? You know, what sort of feedback did you get? Hopefully it was positive. And as I mentioned before, you can also stick in there, if you haven't stuck it in already, is it, maybe it's made you see that there are other areas that need looking at, you know, so if you want to recommend, you can recommend it there as well. Now, that's, we're looking at number 7 here, okay, on the next page. You've got, as I said, the market allocation is included there. The last, we covered the first 5 there, I think it is. And the last 3 there are off paper, if you like. Effort in achieving deadlines. So, you know, if you're, firstly, if your project is in on time, that's very, very important. If you send your submission in on time, that's important. We get your feedback. And if I'm asking, as I'm sending you out notes on a regular basis, take a 4 lots of notes, just give me a couple of lines and how you're getting on, all that sort of stuff endears you to myself, let's say. So, at least it shows I'm not just going to talk to myself at the time. So, and you know, it's, when it comes around to marking, and again, it's a very kind of, for me, subjective thing. I'm looking at effort and achieving deadlines. Yeah, deadlines are there. Yeah, you can see the effort, so you can see the effort that people put in basically on what they hand up at the end of the day. It's very, very obvious. See that initiative. You know, if you've gone that extra mile, if you've, you know, working independently, if let's for argument's sake, you've got a private interview with the Minister for Finance or whatever, you know, that's initiative, that kind of stuff, like, you know, that you've gone that bit. You know, I'm not flipping about that, but I mean that you've gone and maybe looked for information out there, you know, you've showed initiative. Maybe different approach of things or whatever, and again, it's something that's, it comes across when you're reading something like that. Presentation. I send you a sample. It's well organised. There's a structure to this. You start off. You have to have on number 6 there different sections of the project. You have to have a section on each of those. You have to have them marked on your project. It cannot just be an essay type. Kind of change from start to finish. It has to be structured into those structures, okay? Bibliography, I'll send you out something on your bibliography and on your presentation. I mean, you won't need that on the very end. But as I say, when you are researching, make sure you take down the details of where you got that information. Otherwise, it'll take your time to go back looking for it at a later date. Task mark is 50%. Words, if you put a word count on your, when you're doing it, so it comes out on the first or last page, but the word count is between 5 and 6,000. 5 being minimum, 6 being maximum. Deadline, 13th of January. Student support, every Tuesday. Just if you want to have a telephone conversation, send me an email. That day or the day previous. If it's in an email, send me an email at any time. I'll come back. Plagiarism, I've given you a handout on plagiarism, I'm duly bound to mention it.
Yeah.
tell you what plagiarism is. You can have a read of that, please. And I just say in one sentence what plagiarism is, and it's passing someone else's work off as your own. That's in one sentence what plagiarism is. Feel free to quote people, but give them credit. I've given you a brief guide of project writing, how you should, your style should be. Have a look at that again. It talks about there should be a flow to your project. Start, your background, your organisation, your own position within it, the rationale, what's the problem. And then from there it flows how you're investigating this problem, what methods you employ to investigate it, how you put those results down on paper, how you interpret them, what conclusions you arrive at, what's it telling you, okay, recommendations, what you recommend is done to fix the problem or to introduce the innovative scheme, whatever it might be. So it has to flow. Don't use any kind of, I call it blokey language, you know, just, you know, governor and all this sort of stuff, and, you know, just, you know, this is a professional piece of work that you're doing, you know, so treat it accordingly. It's not a conversation that you're having with one of your mates or anything like that, you know, that's all I'd say. And use spell check and word count. There's no reason on earth why. And this thing is going to have your name and it's going to be in the library. So there's no reason on earth why the grammar should be wrong or the spelling should be wrong. I mean, you have those things on your laptop anyway, you know, and the word count as well. That's all I have for you guys. We're going to have, Declan was saying, 4th of October, the dates, remember, 4th of October is the first date to get your subject matter in for approval. And on the 18th, of November, we're going to have an hour together on the Saturday, because you will find maybe the momentum is dropping a bit. You just need to keep the momentum going on this thing. And the hardest thing is to get started, but you know, we'll have a look at it at that stage, just in case people at that stage are running into problems or falling behind or you know, not sure or whatever else. And what I can even do is on that particular day is sit down on a one-to-one basis, even we can have general chat, you know, 20 minutes and then 10 minutes with each one, and just see where you are and, you know, if there's any pointers they can give you at that stage. You know, because at that stage you're probably looking for some sort of idea as to how you're going or where you're going or you're on the right track if you're not on the right track. But I'm sure you will. And it's a great thing at the end of the day when you're finished, something like that, you can, you know, it's on the library. Actually, mine is on the library, the thesis side is on the library in DIT. Believe it or not, a couple of years ago, a guy rang me and said, I read your project. He was doing something with it. And I read it. And I said, Jesus. And when I even read it now sometimes, I say to myself, did I actually write that? You know, I was always in a different zone or a different kind of, you know? And, it kind of, Jesus, I believe you, you know, I was on fire at that stage, you know. And you'll find the same thing when you get into this, you really get into it. Good, give you a lift and it can take over your whole life, you know, with your friends and whatever, and Saturday night socializing, probably pain in their asses as you talk about the projects and whatever. But, you know, it's a great kind of, it's a great confidence booster. It's fantastic. And the best of luck to you all. I'm there to support you, get you through this. Have a good time doing it. Don't get too panicked or too stressed out over it. You know, if you find that's happening, just pick up the phone, give me a shout, and we'll sort it all out. You know, in all the years I've been doing this, I can recall two or three people maybe who didn't cut it at the end, you know, and that was from sheer just didn't care, didn't do the work, whatever, you know, like everything else, you know, other subjects, you know. It's what you put into it, what you get out of it. Keep it going, that's the main thing. Get it started. It's very easy to say, oh, this is December or January, you know, push it back. Just 2 hours a week on this, and you know, you'll be able to say it. Has anyone any questions you want to ask? I hope it's a little bit clearer, is it? I hope it's not daunting or anything, is it?
A bit.
All these things are. You see, it's something they're not used to doing.
Yeah.
It's not just reading and doing an assignment, or it's not reading and answering questions. You know, this is totally different. And this is what makes you think yourself critically. You know, think independently. This is a whole new, you know, way of learning, you know, and it's your own work that's going to, you know, give you the results, give you the confidence. And at the end of the day, it's a skill that you learn, critical thinking, critical, you know, learning, that's, it stays with you, you know. Asking questions, you know, why this, why that? I mean, you know, always. You know, as you grow, you know, as you get through this thing, your mind is thinking about thinking. And when someone says something to you, why, you know, you ask that, why do they say that, or why, what can you, you know, it's thinking all about critical thinking. And this is something which will bring that out, another skill that hopefully will bring out. So the best book to you is all, guys, and, you know, I see it's on the 18th, not sure where yet, but,
you see the numbers.
Yeah. And, you know, if you even to get started, get that stuff into me. That's a start point. Key to the deadlines. And everything will flow. You know, get started, and say it's the hardest part. Once you get started on this, it's a joy. It's, you know, those things are colleagues, they're making me sick of listening to you talking about your project every time. Come down for your tea break, whatever, you know. But use them. That's what, you know, bounce ideas off anyone you think. And keep a note, if someone tells you when you're out in the pub on a Friday or Saturday night, oh yeah, I read a great book or article, you know. Note it down. Take a note somewhere on your phone or whatever, you know. Note it down and check it out then. And I say, anything you hear, record. Anything you read, record it. Where, you know, what the publication was, the page number was. It's all important. Okay, so any questions?
If you have any ideas of what you want to do your project on, can I run by it? Can we run by it now?
I'm in a hurry out of here. I've got about. Yeah. Absolutely. If you want to give me a call, just say.